This morning's scripture is taken from Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 17. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand, and the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword I will rise against the house of Jeroboam." Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel, "Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying: Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile, away from their native land." Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Get back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy any more at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of his kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd and I took care of the sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.' Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel and stop preaching against the house of Isaac.' Therefore, this is what the Lord says: Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country. And Israel will certainly go into exile away from their native land." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you. Would you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the prophets that you have chosen to offer truth. Sometimes it's difficult to hear, and yet you seek for us, your people, to hear it so that we can build a solid foundation upon you. Thank you, Lord. And it's in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Well, I guess all of you finally have heard the big news. LeBron James is going to Miami. I'm sorry to spoil it for anybody who hasn't heard it, read about it, been inundated with it, waking up every moment of coverage, just blasting us that news. Okay, so they have three phenomenal superstars: Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and of course LeBron James. But a commentator brought up this relevant point. Yeah, they have those three superstars, but are they going to have money to pay anybody else? I have never seen a team of three in the NBA beat a team of five yet. You need a team. You need a foundation. You need some depth to it. Now, I'm not going to make any predictions right now. So you come back next year at this time and say, Pastor, remember what you said. But having a solid foundation is important, whether it be in sports or whether it be in life. And having a plan that makes sense is important, especially in our Christian journey. I had an experience this past week And I'm going to tell a story on myself right now. And I know a lot of you enjoy that. In fact, it's about 100%. I had a plan. And my plan didn't particularly go as planned, as many of my plans happen or don't happen in my life. I was given the task of transporting some flat sheets of building material, 4 foot by 8 foot, okay? And the individual who asked me to do this said, "Will it fit in your vehicle, Neil?" "Oh, yeah, sure. No problem." Well, the problem is I actually took a measuring tape out of the desk of our dear beloved administrative assistant, Cheryl, and took it out to my car and measured it and thought, well, doesn't seem to be enough space, but I said I'm going to do this job, so I'll make it fit. Anybody ever say that before? Yeah, come on, be honest. I'm having a witness here. Come on, be honest. Yeah, I'll make it fit. So I ended up down at Lowe's, and I brought these sheets out in this huge cart, okay, 4 foot by 8 foot, and I tried to put one in my cart. The other one is on the cart, and I happened to be blessed by God with a front row parking space, but then other people started coming in. So as I'm trying to bend in this 4 by 8 foot sheet, and I'm thinking very unchristlike thoughts, and I'm trying to bend it in, and I'm thinking, well, let me do it this way, let me do it this way. The cart starts moving away, cars start coming, so I'm going like this, trying to hold that cart, pull it over, cram that sheet in. Finally, a sister in Christ, this is the gospel truth, showed up in a cargo van. She looked at how pitiful I looked, knowing that I needed help and great assistance, and simply said, "I've helped people in need before." Honest to goodness. "I will transport that wherever you need to go." We loaded it up in the cargo van. She followed me clear from Lowe's out here to the church, unloaded it. We had some prayers. I started the prayer. She jumped in. Cheryl can witness this. She was in the prayer. She got tired of my prayer. She started praying. She was on fire. And then she scooted out of the church. And that was it. That was it. So if you don't think they're guardian angels looking over fools all the time, I have a witness for you right now. The plan that we have sometimes is not going to work out. And you know, we say, we're going to do this come you-know-what or high water. And we're going to make it fit. And you know, I said I'm going to do this, and I got to do this now, and I'm going to do it my way, and it doesn't work. Who are we called to follow as Christians? Anybody? Okay, because if we need to go over that, I need to step back a few pages. We're following God. That is our source of life in the first place. That is the one who gives us each and every breath. That is the one who sustains us. That is the one who washes over us with grace. That is the one who forgives us. And yet also, that is the one who judges us. That's not necessarily a popular idea, is it? The judging God. In fact, I have heard one person after another say, well, the God of the Old Testament is the God of judgment. The God of the New Testament is the God of grace. And of course, my God is the God of the New Testament. Facing judgment or being accountable is essential for the individual Christian walk, but also the ministry of the church. And if there is no accountability, then there is no authentic Christian walk. If there is no accountability for the body of Christ, for the church, then it is simply a social club. That's the reality. That's a hope as well, isn't it? Because God wants us to be able to experience His grace and love to the fullest measure. He wants us to be in a deeper and deeper relationship with Him. So when we're doing things that are our plan, like trying to put 4-foot by 8-foot things in a Honda CRV, we're going to find that it's not going to work. And we're going to come to that conclusion eventually, maybe sooner than later. Maybe later than sooner, who knows? When we're in line with God's plan in our lives, when we are following His Word in the Scripture, when we're praying, we're in fellowship in His house, it's in those times that God is speaking to us. Speaking to us specifically saying, this is the path that I would like you to take. This is the decision that I'd like you to make. This is what's right. This is what's wholesome. This is what's holy. This is what is sacred. And God speaks those things to us. Sometimes in a society that has become easily distracted, the idea of being part of something sacred or holy seems impossible. But is anything impossible for God? Is anything beyond God's grace or reach or touch in our lives, in our heart? No! And yet sometimes God's got to get our attention. I want you to go ahead and look at somebody different than you looked at earlier. Go ahead and look at somebody different than you looked at earlier. And go ahead and share this phrase with them. I have one nerve left and you're getting on it. Go ahead and tell them that right now. Have you ever shared that with someone? Or something of that derivation, maybe? You've thought it, but you didn't say it. Okay, alrighty. Well, okay, that's honest. Thank you for that witness. And if somebody says that to you, you better straighten up and fly right, so to speak, okay? You better pay attention, at least. Be aware, okay? All right, maybe I just need to give that person a little bit of space, a little bit of time. Well, there are times in Scripture where God is saying to His people, I have one nerve left, and you're really getting on it. And in the Scripture passage today, He says that. Okay? What's happening here? There are visions that Amos offers, and it actually begins at the beginning of the 7th chapter. This is what the Lord God showed me. That's another way of saying I was able to understand more fully. Okay, scripturally, biblically. Amos was able to understand what God was speaking through him, and he needed to do it because he was going to be sharing this. He was going to be in a very difficult position. In other words, he was going to be speaking to some people in power and in powerful positions who needed to be put right with God again, and he was going to be God's mouthpiece. Anybody that's ever had to say something difficult to someone that they loved or cared about, and yet it was a word of truth, can understand where Amos is here. Now, Amos says there's going to be locusts coming. And then he says there's going to be a shower of fire. And then there's another vision, and this starts where our brother shared with us this morning. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, "Amos, what do you see?" And I said, "A plumb line." Then the Lord said, "This is the truth. See, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." Heady stuff. A God of judgment speaking through the prophet very clearly. I saw where in Yuma the stone house has been rebuilt. Has anybody followed that story in the news about the individual whose house was out of code and kind of slapped together and falling apart, and now he and his wife have a brand new up to code house, solidly built by community pitching together and helping out neighbors in need. A wonderful story. But the original house, I don't think they used a plumb line on any of those walls, probably. I have a feeling. Probably on not one of those walls. A plumb line is a construction tool that is basically used, gravity is something that guides it, to go ahead and see if a wall is straight, if it's structurally sound, if it's built well. What God is saying here is that my people are off kilter. They have strayed from me. And just like a wall that is starting to fall apart, my people are falling apart as well. They've turned from me, and they're no longer paying attention. They're no longer following my statutes. They're no longer following my leading in their lives. And so they're going to reap what they've sown. Very clear here. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. What was happening is that there were some cultic worship practices that were taking place in some of these open-air sanctuaries in the northern kingdom. Okay, and they were slowly but surely becoming more about simply bringing in what society felt was right rather than worshiping God. That's a challenge. It's tempting to simply make worship comfortable so that it doesn't really challenge or stretch people. It's tempting. Kind of come in, put in your time, get your cookie, go home. But we have to do more. We're called to do more. We're called to be God's holy people. We're called to be God's sacred messengers. We are called to be something different. Being a Christian is advanced living. Doesn't mean we're above anybody. Indeed, our model for this advanced living is who? Christ. And what was he? A servant. Did he wash feet? Yes. Did he eat with tax collectors and prostitutes? Yes. Did he serve others? Yes. So that is our model, servanthood. But in being true servants of Christ, the resurrected Savior, the hope of the world, what we are doing is saying to the world, this is what holiness is. This is what sacredness is. This is what it is to put God first. They'd lost that. The people of God had lost this. And so they were starting to even have some idol worship starting to kind of creep in. And God had had enough of it. Eventually, the northern kingdom would fall. Wouldn't happen for probably about another decade, but eventually it happened. the wall was crumbling. Whenever that wall starts crumbling, you better just go ahead and tear it down. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel saying, King, Amos has conspired against you. Not me, King. I think you're great. You're wonderful. He's aspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. What happens whenever religious professionals start gathering more and more power is that they can start becoming corrupt as well and no longer represent God, but rather represent their own self-interests. This priest was in tight with the king and simply said what the king wanted to hear. That's all he was interested in. And so when this prophecy of judgment comes, that shakes things to the foundation. And the priest is saying, no, don't believe him. Don't believe him. Listen to me. You're wonderful. You're great. Everything's hunky-dory. God, when we turn away from him, God, when we start focusing on our own self-interests and our own agenda, God, when we seek to put him first in our lives, will bring a word of judgment and accountability. And we can either listen or ignore it and turn away. The king ignored it, the priests ignored it, and eventually they were taken off into captivity and into a whole other land. And they were destroyed. The wall crumbled. For us as modern day people of God, whose plan are we following? Whose agenda guides us in our daily lives? Whose voice do we seek after to listen to and then to share with others? It's a very clear message today, my friends. A very clear message that when we turn away from God, we will certainly reap what we sow. The following story is told by Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher from London in the 1850s. In the days of Nero, one of the most evil men in all history, the Roman emperor, and in the days when the apostle Paul wrote his letters to Romans, there was a shortage of food in Rome. It was tough times. The people were hungry. Some were starving. Everyone was worried about where the next meal would come from. At that same time, there was an abundance of food in Alexandria, Egypt, on the banks of the Nile, a very fertile area. The Nile River would flood, and with fresh water, there was plenty of corn and wheat in Egypt. So merchant ships would sail from Rome to Alexandria, Egypt. And you would expect that those boats would bring back corn and wheat from Egypt. Did they? No. The ships were filled with sand to be used in the Emperor Nero's gladiator games. There was so much blood from animals and blood from human beings, they filled the circus floor with sand to soak up all the blood. Sand for gladiator shows. The ships were filled with sand, of all things. One day, an owner of a ship came down to the wharf and saw the sand being unloaded. It had to be an absurd sight. Can you imagine when people are starving? Excuse me. He saw all the hungry and starving people who wanted more than sand. They wanted to be fed with wheat and corn. So this ship owner ordered his ship captain to bring back a shipload of wheat rather than a shipload of sand. And when that ship arrived in Rome, all the hungry people were enormously happy that the ship did not have sand, but corn and wheat, and they would have a meal for food that night. You see, just because the world is saying that a certain thing is right or distracting us with things that it says we should put first in our lives or we should make important in our lives doesn't make it right. We are defined by God. And as God's people, His Word speaks to us. As God's people, we are His church, and so we encourage one another and we love one another. And as God's people, we have a Savior who has died for us, who has sacrificed for us so that we can have a whole new way of relating to God, an intimacy with God, the Creator of the universe. Isn't that wonderful? Certainly, when we stray from God, there is judgment and there's accountability. But God is seeking to always welcome us back, and He continues to pursue us. When we say that we are Christian, we remember the way that He pursued us most powerfully by sending a Savior, by delivering the Messiah, by offering Christ for our sins on the cross. What an awesome God we have that continues to reach out and want to surround us even when we're pulling away. In this time that we have right now of discipleship, of opening ourselves to that God who's wanting to embrace us once again, I would invite you this morning specifically to lay before God, as you're hearing the music play, in your own prayers, ways that you've turned away, or ways that you've sought your own agenda, or ways that you've been self-centered. Go ahead and name that today. And lay it before God. He already knows it. And He still loves you. He still loves you. How have you been trying to do your own thing rather than God's thing in your life? As you lay that before Him in this time of discipleship, know that God receives it and fills you completely with His forgiveness and grace. Join with me in prayer.